Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Following last year's amazing turnout, the Black Effect Podcast Network and Nissan are giving 50 HBCU STEAM scholars the opportunity to have an all-expenses-paid trip to Nissan's second Thrill of Possibility Summit. This is a remarkable opportunity to be mentored by auto, tech, and podcasting's brightest minds. NCANT's Marcus Scott Jr., who attended the first summit, had this to say: "A life-changing, impactful experience that I've never had in my life." Enter now to be a part of this incredible weekend. For more information, visit blackeffect.com/Nissan.
Hi, I'm Dr. John White, WebMD's Chief Medical Officer and host of the Health Discovered podcast, where we bring you fascinating stories and unique perspectives, like our recent episode where we break down the myths to uncover the facts of type 1 diabetes.
A lot of people, very well-meaning people who cared about me, just thought that it was caused by diet or can be cured by diet and exercise. Especially right after I was diagnosed, people saying, what was it that you ate? Or are you going to have to change your diet to get rid of this? There's still a lot of, you know, people see me pick up some kind of dessert and they're like, oh, should you really be eating that? Or thinking, you know, if they give sugar-free things to people, if that's helpful.
Listen to Health Discovered on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we continue with our American stories. Up next, the short, happy life of Abraham Lincoln, his final days. By all accounts, Good Friday, just 2 days before Easter on April 14, 1865, was the happiest day of President Abraham Lincoln's life. It had most certainly been the happiest few weeks of his life, according to James Swanson, author of the New York Times bestseller, Manhunt, The 12-Day Chase for Lincoln's Killer. Here is what Swanson wrote. Lincoln had won the war. Richmond fell on April 3rd. Lee surrendered on April 9th. And Lincoln gave his final speech from the White House grounds the evening of April 11th. The night before the night Lincoln was shot by his assassin, local newspapers reported it being the most beautiful night in the history of Washington, as the city celebrated the ending of the bloodiest and costliest war ever fought on American soil. Fireworks, flares, and other sources of every imaginable variety illuminated the evening sky. Again, James Swanson. One of the papers said that the Capitol Dome was so beautiful that night that it looked like a second moon had descended upon the earth as a sign of God's favor for the Union and for the victory. The very next morning, an idyllic spring morning on April 14, Lincoln met his son, who'd been working for General George Meade, and then he met with his cabinet. A rare visitor joined that last meeting Lincoln would ever hold with his staff, none other than General Ulysses S. Grant. They discussed affairs of state, and things ended with Lincoln sharing a dream he'd had the night before. In it, he was at the head of a mysterious vessel, moving towards a distant shore. He was alone. Lincoln added that whenever he had that dream, and he'd had it many times before during the war, something of critical importance transpired. "I'm convinced something of major significance is about to happen," Lincoln told his men. When the meeting ended, he and his bride Mary took a carriage ride to enjoy the open air and talk about matters of the heart. Here again is James Swanson. During that ride, Lincoln told her he knew they'd been very unhappy ever since the death of their 11-year-old son, Willie, in the White House in 1862. The death count in the Civil War, over 600,000, had taken its toll on Lincoln, too. It had been a crushing burden on him, and the two of them had grown apart during the war for so many reasons. He told Mary, "We must be happy again." Mary even wrote a note later that day about her husband's rejuvenated spirit. "You alarm me," she said, "because I have never seen you this happy since just before the death of our child." Just 2 days before Easter, the day Christians around the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Lincoln had experienced a resurrection of his own. That night, he and Mary attended Our American Cousin, a popular comedy of the day by British playwright Tom Taylor. The couple arrived at Ford's Theater 30 minutes late, and the play was stopped immediately as the band rose and played Hail to the Chief. The crowd went wild. They were celebrating their great leader. They were also celebrating the end of a terrible war. They, too, had borne the heavy burden of the greatest conflict on American soil. They, too, had the feeling of being reborn. That moment may well have been the happiest of Lincoln's life. On the day that marked a new and happy beginning to Lincoln's life and the nation's, John Wilkes Booth was plotting to make it the president's last. Here's James Swanson on Booth. The 26-year-old was one of the most popular actors in America, exceedingly handsome and athletic. Women and men would stop in the street to watch him as he passed. Generous, vain, funny, egomaniacal, politically motivated to be a lover of the South, and a supporter of slavery who once said, "Slavery is the best thing that ever happened to the black man." On the day Lincoln gave his last speech from the White House grounds, Booth was present, seated not far from him. When Lincoln spoke to the adoring crowd about giving blacks the right to vote, Booth turned to a Confederate sympathizer he knew well and said, "That's the last speech he'll ever give." It turns out Booth had considered killing Lincoln before. At the president's second inaugural address, he sat a mere 50 feet from the man he hated. Here's James Swanson. Getting drunk at a bar shortly after that, Booth pounded his fist on the table and said to a friend, "What an excellent chance I had to kill the president on Inauguration Day. He was almost as close to me as you are now." Then came the catalyst that drove Booth into action. While visiting Ford's Theater midday to pick up his mail, a woman told the actor that Lincoln was attending the play that night. That, according to James Swanson, set off the imaginary clock counting down in Booth's head. What motivated one of the leading actors of his day to do such a thing? Again, James Swanson. Lincoln was an American Caesar to Booth. He wanted to punish Lincoln the tyrant. He hoped to change history, and of course, he wanted eternal fame. He had it in his lifetime, but Booth wanted to be immortalized as a Southerner and ultimately an American patriot. The rest of the story, what Herman Melville called "that bloody awful night," is embedded in the American memory. The details of the assassination notwithstanding, what Booth did that night was what James Swanson called a new art form, performance assassination. Booth wasn't on a suicide mission. He had an actual escape plan. What he really wanted, Swanson noted, was to be seen and celebrated. Again, here's James Swanson. When he crept to the president's box and shot Lincoln and jumped to the stage of Ford's Theater, Booth wasn't wearing a disguise. He hadn't shaved his mustache. He did nothing to conceal himself when he turned to the audience and faced them and cried out the state motto of Virginia. That motto, "Sic Semper Tyrannis," is a Latin phrase meaning "thus always to tyrants." Those words were followed by the last words Booth ever uttered on an American stage. the South is avenged. As he left the stage, he exulted to himself, and only few people heard it. I have done it. Booth then escaped to the back of the theater, jumped on his waiting horse, and rode off into the night. The largest manhunt in American history ensued. Booth was found 12 days later outside of Port Royal, Virginia, trapped in a tobacco barn. The cavalry set the building on fire to force him out. When he reached for his rifle and headed for the door, Sergeant Boston Corbett pulled his pistol and fired only once, striking Booth in the neck and severing his spine. He would die within hours, a slow, miserable death. Back at Ford's Theater on Good Friday, America's beloved president lay dying in his box. He was attended by three doctors who had concluded quickly that the wound was mortal and that the theater was simply not an appropriate place for a man like him to die. So those men carried him from his box, down the stairs, and into the street, looking for a place to make the President of the United States as comfortable as he possibly could be in the few hours of life he had left to live. A person staying at the Peterson House, just across the street from Ford's Theater, was quick to help. The doctors rushed Lincoln in and took him directly to the back of the bedroom, where he died the next morning on April 15th. As he died that night, a light cold rain began to fall over Washington. It was as if the very heavens wept at the loss of our beloved president. Thus ended the short, happy life of the great emancipator, Abraham Lincoln. The opening stanza of Walt Whitman's epic poem, When Lilacs Last in the Dooryard Bloomed, captured the nation's grief in ways mere prose could not. When lilacs last in the dooryard bloomed, and the great star early drooped in the western sky in the night, I mourned and yet shall mourn with ever-returning spring. Ever-returning spring, Trinity sure to me you bring, lilac blooming perennial and drooping star in the west, and thought of him I love. The short, happy life of President Abraham Lincoln, his final days, here on Our American Stories.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Congratulations to Boston Children's Hospital, first place award winner for innovation in industry at the 2023 Unconventional Awards presented by T-Mobile for Business. Boston Children's is dedicated to improving and advancing the health and well-being of children around the world through its life-changing work in clinical care. And it is home to the world's largest pediatric research enterprise. Boston Children's is revolutionizing healthcare with T-Mobile's 5G solutions. Through secure, private, and reliable networks, practitioners can access internal systems and applications securely from virtually anywhere. T-Mobile for Business congratulates Boston Children's Hospital for their innovation and unconventional thinking.
This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Imagine a simple and powerful act at the time of your baby's birth that could prepare them for their potential future health needs. Cord blood banking is such an amazing thing, and it's a one-time opportunity. For something so important, ViaCord is the only choice. Using innovative technology, ViaCord extracts and preserves stem cells, providing families the opportunity of a potential safeguard against nearly 80 serious medical conditions. With 25 years of experience, ViaCord stands out as a leader in cord blood banking. Because your child's future is too important to leave to chance, choose ViaCord. And the time for you to act is now. From now through December 1st, you can take advantage of ViaCord's best price of the year with $500 cord blood processing and $995 cord blood and tissue processing. You can register today and lock in this special price with nothing due until after the birth of your baby. Visit ViaCord's website at ViaCord, ViaCord.com to sign up now or learn more.